Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Harold Roth. Share with us maybe you've ever tried to put a spell on somebody. Check in with us when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Harold Roth with us. His book, The Witching Herbs. And you worked on this for a decade to get this book out, Harold?
Yeah, I wasn't. I would have problems. Like, I needed somebody to tell me when to get it done by.
Yeah.
And when I got approached by a publisher about it, that's when I finally finished it.
Samuel Weiser books. They're good people. Great paranormal, supernatural books.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. And it just came out, didn't it?
Yes, it just came out. Actually, it was scheduled to come out in March, and it actually came out in February.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're on the program. When witches have their powers, where do the powers come from?
The way that a lot of witches see it is that there's this energy out there, and you can learn to kind of focus that, often with the help of the spirits. And basically, that's how it works. It's not something that's within you yourself.
It's
more like you learn a skill to focus it.
Do various witches have various expertise in certain things?
Yeah, they do.
What would you be a specialist in, for example?
I'm really good at protection.
And
I've done wealth stuff as well, but protection is one of the main things that people ask me to do and that I feel pretty good at. There's people who specialize in love spells, people who specialize in curse work, all kinds of things, just like doctors.
Are there some witches then that one would go to if they really wanted to have something bad done to somebody?
Yeah, and in fact,
wow,
a couple of times people asked me to do something like that, and I just didn't. I didn't want to.
That's not your nature.
No.
You're not that kind
of
person.
And generally, it was always for something that I thought was really trivial. But, because some people just kind of overreact or whatever. But, yeah, there are people that I've known who do specialize in curse work.
Hollywood, of course, again, portrays spells sometimes in curses where you need a lock of hair of the individual and things like that. Is that true?
Well, a lot of people do that, and from different traditions, too. Like, there's a tradition in the U.S. called hoodoo, which is kind of a combination of the religions of slaves who were brought over here from Africa with pharmacy, as it was in the 19th century, and, you know, the kind of beliefs of the slaveholders, so sort of Irish, Scotch, English type folk stuff. And that approach does usually involve getting something of the person, like their hair, a piece of their clothing, and failing that, their photograph, their signature, things like that. But even like, of course, voodoo does also involve getting pieces of the person's stuff, like their hair or something. And I even know regular witches who don't belong to either of those traditions, if they want to make a poppet to do some curse work on somebody, they would usually involve something like a person's hair or toenail clippings or something.
Now, when witches are doing their thing, do they ever sacrifice animals or things like that?
Very occasionally, some people do, and those are usually people who are involved in some kind of traditional practice, like Santeria or voodoo, where animal sacrifice has been practiced for a long time.
What kind of animals?
Chickens.
Chickens primarily?
Yeah. Nobody sacrifices cats that I know of.
And dogs, I hope. They don't?
I haven't heard of any dogs. I've only heard of chickens, goats, maybe a sheep or two.
Do witches want your soul?
No, because what would they do with it? It's like, I think that's really a Christian idea that, the idea that the devil wants your soul, and that gets extended to witches. But really, I've never even known anybody who would even bring up the idea, much less try to do it.
All right, let's go to the phones. They're lining up for you. We'll pick it up by going to Nevada City, California. Joshua is with us. Josh, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hi.
Hi there.
I wanted to ask, first of all, I'm going to say a few things. I just wanted to mention about the different herbs that were mentioned, that mugwort and wormwood are in the same family. They're both Artemisia, and that Datura, Henbane, Belladonna, and Mandrake are all in the nightshade family. They all have similar alkaloid content. And then also wanted to say that one of my first psychedelic experiences was with the hanging trumpet flowers in that same family of plants, and that one of the main active alkaloids is the truth serum from World War II, known as scopolamine, which is also used in the seasickness medicine known as
Very
Dramamine.
good. You've got this down to a science.
Well, as we all should.
Very good.
And then, so then, I wanted to ask your guest the question of what his knowledge is of the psychedelic properties of all of these plants, and then as well, the word shamanism versus witchcraft, the synonymity, however you want to call it, between shamanism and witchcraft, and also to mention that my first experiences with witchcraft was making my own candles, in which I received third degree burns.
Oh no.
I was in junior high school,
From the
and
wax.
yes,
Good.
I wanted, you know, I wanted, I wanted, you know, I wanted her to fall in love with me.
Oh God.
Did the candles work?
I gave up after I got the burns on my hands.
I don't blame you at all. Well, what about the similarities now between some of the psychedelics and not?
Okay, well, the plants he's talking about, do they they contain tropane alkaloids, a group of alkaloids, and that are in Brugmansias too, which you mentioned. And there are people who do use those. They do ingest them, and they do use it for instance, flying ointments. There, if you go on arrowhead.org, you will be able to read the trip report, in quotation marks, of a Swedish witch who made a flying ointment that included, I think it included belladonna and some of the other, I can't remember, but I know that it was, they had. She had some of the tropane-containing alkaloids in there, and it was pretty intense. This is not like the kind of, this is not like a legal high type high. You know, this is, these are not plants to be messed with.
Right.
Partly because, well, some of them can be dangerous, like belladonna. Some people have died from ingesting it, but and a couple of small handful of people have died from ingesting Datura, but the real thing is that it creates a kind of the hallucinations tend to be very, very frightening, and people usually end up hurting themselves, like by falling. It seems to be very common with these kind of herbs. So, and I don't think it's necessary, neither do a lot of other people practice witchcraft. Instead, I take the approach that if you grow these plants yourself, and that's an important distinction that I make between working with an herb as a tool and working with an herb as a teacher, a spirit, that with a spirit, you're not going to be automatically just wanting to ingest this thing, especially certain plants seem to be really in guess against being ingested. You know, they want to be around us, but if you ingest them, they're going to mess you up. So, I guess that's how I feel about them. The shamanism thing that he raised, I think that's really important, and that there are a lot of witches now who who consider that shamanism is basically essential to witchcraft. Because if you think about it, the definition of shamanism is that you work with the spirit world to affect change in this world, usually some kind of healing stuff, but they do curses too. And working directly with the spirit is part of witchcraft. So there's a book that came out a little while ago called, oh shoot, now I can't think of it. Oh well.
Who was the author? Do you know who the author was?
Emily, it's just not in my head right now.
It's gone, okay.
I actually reviewed it on Amazon really positively because it's about early modern witchcraft in England. And the woman makes the argument that it's really what's being described as shamanic, and that instead of doing things like going into a sweat lodge or starvation, something like that, that are used by various indigenous people, that the early modern witches endured like starvation because they were simply poor, they were ill, and then they would end up having contact with these spirit familiars that helped them to become witches.
Next up, let's go to more calls. We go to Carlos, truck driving in Oregon, west of the Rockies. Carlos, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, Carlos.
Good. How are you?
I'm listener, George. 20 years.
Thank you.
My question is kind of silly, but I was burglarized 3 times by the landlord's son. Is there kind of something that I could, we could put on him to maybe make his hair fall out or make his feet or something? But I know karma will take care of that. So, you know, I'm just kind of throwing this in.
All right. What do we do, Harold?
Out there and gentlemen, love and peace to all.
Thank you, Carlos. What does he do to somebody like that?
I think that the best thing to do in that kind of situation is to focus on protecting yourself, and that protection should be magical and material. So he should, you know, get better locks for his door, preferably change the lock to something where the landlord's son doesn't have the key, or if he's coming in through the window or something like that, remedy that materially, but then also do protection magic. So like he could put salt in the corners of all of his rooms in his house. He could sense it with some kind of good incense to repel negative stuff. He could wear a holy metal, like for the Archangel Michael, is pretty good for protection. So there's all different ways, but it's always good to blend the actual material world action with magic.
And, you know, it's really not advisable to cast a spell to hurt somebody, is there?
Well, it's really not necessary. I mean, what if you think about it, what's the result you want? Do you want to punish somebody, or do you want to just get them to stop doing whatever it is?
Like in his case, he wants to punish somebody.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to. What he really needs to do is just keep the guy out.
Right.
So that's probably where I think most witches would take the approach of instead of jumping to curse somebody because they did something bad to you, work to protect yourself. And that can be either just straight up protection spells or binding. And that could be another way that he could try to stop this guy by doing a binding spell in which you take something that represents the person. It could be a photograph or it could be something of theirs. Wind it up in a piece of paper. You write their name on it and cross it out repeatedly. Wind the paper up with black yarn or thread and then put it in a box and bury it like at a funeral.
Let's go to Nick. Go ahead.
And that would help to stop them, literally. It doesn't kill people, you know, it just stops them.
Well, that's good. Nick is in Mecca, Indiana. Hey, Nick, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Nick Smith from Mecca, Indiana.
Okay.
Okay, I got a Bible verse first, and then I'll get my question.
All right.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's Romans 10:9. Do you believe that, yes or no?
There's
no.
That's the question.
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
I'm not a Christian.
You're not a Christian. Well, are you a Wiccan?
No.
I thought no. All witches were Wiccans.
No, Wicca is a religion, and, you know, there are plenty of Wiccans who are witches, but there are plenty of witches who aren't Wiccans.
So
they could be any religion or no religion. They could be pagans. I consider myself a pagan, pretty much.
What do you believe in, Harold? Life after death?
I'm not so sure about that, but I believe that you have to live rightly, to do as little harm as you can, to do the right thing.
A higher power right. That created us?
A higher power, yes, and I work with some. But I don't think it says, I don't belong to an organized religion. I do know witches who do. I know witches who are Christians. I know there's a lot of Christianity in witchcraft and vice versa.
Yes, there is. There sure is.
So I don't think that, I don't worry about not believing in Jesus.
Or God. Or God.
I didn't hear what you said.
Thought you disappeared.
I do.
I thought the higher order came and took you away.
Yeah, God was punishing me, I guess, striking me dumb. Now, I do believe in a God, but it's just not the one that he's talking about.
Let's get your website out, Harold. Would you please give it out?
Okay, it's www.alchemy-works.com. That's ALCHEMY, and then a hyphen, WORKS.com.
We've got that linked up at coasttocoastam.com. The name of this book is called The Witching Herbs. You heard us go through some of these 13 essential plants. And if you're into this, it's a great book. It really is. We're going to come back in a moment and take final phone calls fast night. Harold, what would the greatest spell be in 30 seconds that you could put on somebody? What would that be? Long-term longevity? What would it be? Happiness?
I guess abundance, because that can be something that is either real or something that is an interpretation, that you appreciate what you have for the abundance that it really is.
Well, that could work. All right, we're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls next. And welcome back. We're back with the witch, Harold Roth. His book is The Witching Herbs. And Harold, I mean, that's not being derogatory to you, is it, when people just call you a witch? Because that's what you are.
Right, it's not an insult at all.
Have you ever gotten so mad at someone that you just wanted to wish them into the cornfield?
yeah, but, you know, that's okay to think. I feel like it's okay to think about things like that, but just don't do things like that. I think that you have to really think about your actions and consider them. Because I'm sure we've all experienced things that we did that we thought they were really a good idea at the time and regretted later. And something like that where you wish somebody was dead or you did spell work to kill somebody.
Oh, my God. And that has happened, hasn't it?
Huh?
That people have done that, though, haven't they? Curses to kill people.
I have heard about the most stupid thing, like, one guy, he actually was a magic worker, not a witch. He did spell work to kill his photographer at his wedding because the photographer did a bad job.
No way. Really?
I feel like somebody who did that just is asking to get struck by lightning.
He didn't want to pay the photographer. That's what he didn't want to do.
I guess. I mean, it just... I also was actually approached by somebody who wanted to kill a neighbor who had parked his car in a way that when he was parking it, I guess the guy's mom was near the curb or something, and the guy felt like his, nothing happened, okay? But the guy just perceived it as such a horrendous threat
to his mother.
Yeah, that he wanted me to create something that would kill this guy.
And what do you say to these people? No, I'm not going to do this.
That's what I say. No.
Do they try to offer you money?
Oh yeah.
Big money?
I mean, yeah.
Wow.
And there are people who get thousands of dollars for doing this kind of stuff. But
and let me ask you this, Harold. Does it work when they do that?
Well, yeah, sometimes it does. I mean, it's just like anything.
My God.
You know, does it work, or do you have to do it repeatedly? Or, I mean, that's the thing about magic. Sometimes you have to do things repeatedly. I don't know about death curses. You know, I mean, I can't say that I have had a lot of experience with that. I mean, even just hearing about it, I haven't really heard about it that much. And most of the time when I have, it's been a person who either was just something wrong with them to me, like the guy with the parking or the wedding photographer, or some people do it and they do it to impress their customers or to act like a badass, you know. I don't get that.
Beep. Let's go to Gary, Santa Maria, California. Hi, Gary. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much. Harold, I wondered if you participated in the spell to bind Donald Trump, which set off a thermal nuclear spiritual war. Well,
there were witches who did that. You're right, Gary.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. I thought it was really cool, though.
No, Harold.
I participated in a group spell for political things a few years ago, and that was about England.
Are there any spells that you know of? Because you said you talked about protection, so you would be amenable to a spell to bind Trump, even though it looks like it backfired on the Oscars. It backfired on David Blaine and also Chris Angel. They both ended up in the hospital when their magic tricks went wrong. They're both into tarot. Chris Angel, of course, tries to debunk tarot, but that doesn't mean he's not good at it. The Oscars had had both of the towers fall over. The spell included an image of Trump being burned by an orange candle with the tower card from the tarot deck. The Oscars had the towers fall over with a huge bang that people thought was a bomb going off, and then Trump didn't look like he was affected at all. He gave the most effective speech of his life, and it seems that everybody in Hollywood, with the Oscars getting mixed up with Emma Stone, with La La Land, the whole thing looks like it blew up in Hollywood's face. And Lana Del Rey led it, and she was the one that sang the song at the close of the film, Maleficent, that Hollywood did, and also Into the Woods, which should have read Into the Hollywoods. It was thinly veiled pedophilia between Johnny Depp and the little actress that was born on Rothschild, Papa Rothschild's birthday, February 23rd.
Well, I don't know anything about that. I'm sorry. I don't watch the Oscars, and I don't do magic that has to do with Hollywood, and I don't know anybody who does. In terms of the Trump thing, like I said, I ain't participated in it.
How many witches participated in that?
Not a whole lot.
Hundreds, right?
It was mostly people who kind of, in my opinion, I mean, who are very aware of their audience. Let's put it that way. And that is not, most of the witches I know are pretty private people, and they might do, like I said, they might do spell work for political stuff. and even do spell work against Trump. But just tonight, I got castigated by a witch who was very pro-Trump. So, you know.
Well, I mean, to cast a spell against a sitting president, doesn't that hurt all of us?
Well, I don't know. People can vote against him. Doesn't that hurt all of us? I mean, No. It's just like any action. I don't think that it's different from any other action.
I mean, were the witches bad losers or what?
No, they just feel, I guess a lot of people feel threatened by the fact that there's a great deal of dominionists in the crowd of politicos that surround Trump. And dominionists are not good for witches or for people who are not Christians of their particular flavor. So, and I think they're very out front about that, the dominionists. They're very clear about what they want. So I don't think that's weird to want to protect yourself from people who would like to see you experience harm or be squashed in some way. I'm not doing it because, I don't know, I guess I'm just waiting to see what happens.
Let's go west. Joey's with us, San Diego. Hi, Joey. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure thing.
George, I have one question. I don't know if you can, there's two stories that I'm trying to clarify. Maybe I just can remember one. And that is the story of Siddhartha. Was he the boy, the Indian boy that went to look for Buddha and he ended up finding a tree by a river or something? I don't know if you ever found Buddha.
Gosh, I do not know about Buddha.
I think he became Harold? Buddha.
He did?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh. All right, I'm not that knowledgeable about who becomes Buddha. But
I think he was the original. I mean, I think he was the person who is considered to be Buddha. I don't know. It's been a really, really long time since I read about Siddhartha. But, like, that was when I was a teenager. So.
Well, you're probably right, Harold. That's probably how it happened. When the individual called and said he burned himself with candles, we had a witch that used to come. Did you know Evelyn Paglini?
No.
All right, she was a great witch. She's dead now. But she would make candles for spells. Do you believe in using that?
Oh, yeah, candles are great for magic. I used one myself to manifest a house. I wanted to have my own house. And so I got a candle of the appropriate color, and I wrote a petition. I put it under the candle. I had an oil to put in the candle, the hot wax of the candle, and I burned it on a regular basis and focused my energy on getting a house. And I was offered one. I was offered a land contract on a house, and I ended up, it was weird. It was like one of these things where be careful what you ask for. You might get it because once I had the opportunity to get that house, I realized that I didn't really want a house, so I decided not to get it. But I do know that candle magic is really, it's really good. I mean, I you would think it's so kind of hokey, but it seems to really work well, maybe just for certain people, but a lot of people I know use it.
Well, as long as the house you tried to manifest was not made out of gingerbread kids.
No!
Let's go to Ricky in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, first-time caller. Hi, Ricky. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. My name is Ricky Tavares. I'm calling from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah.
Well, most people know me as the owner of RickySeeds.com website. My question is, I had a couple roommates a couple years ago, and they were into witchcraft and spells and all that wizardry stuff. And it seems like now, a couple years later, I get these dizzy spells that last maybe 1 or 2 seconds every couple days. And it all started when I had these roommates a couple years ago. Now, is it possible that they put something in my food or something like that? Or
would they do that? Would a witch poison food, Harold?
Poison, no, I don't think there would any. But, you know, that's like any person who wishes you ill might do that. They, witches could put something in your food, but it's usually for some kind of love spell. But in terms of having dizzy spells years later after having roommates who are witches, I think that it most likely has a physical cause and not a witch cause. Now, you could find out by basically protecting yourself in the various ways, like, for instance, that I've described of sensing yourself in your living environments with, especially frankincense. It's very good to get rid of negative spell work, putting salt around the corners of your place where you live, that sort of thing. But honestly, I would go see a doctor.
Quickly, too.
Yeah, I would go see a doctor and just describe it. It could be nothing. I mean, a lot of people get vertigo for perfectly ordinary reasons, and, you know, it's nothing to worry about. But it's always better to go. And again, I think it's important when you're a witch or you practice any kind of magic that you do, as the alchemists say, as above, so below, as below, so above, that you always match a magical intention or a magical work with a material work.
So how does somebody keep a spell off them?
Basically by doing good cleansing of themselves, their living place, and their family and animals. And the way that I do that is by using incense, just because that's something I'm familiar with. I mean, you can always do things like people bury things outside of their house to keep things away. I mean, one of the most ancient ways to do that is to bury bowls at the corner, of your house, a bowl, with the facing out to catch anything and repel it. I mean, that's going back to the Babylonians. There's all different kinds of things you can do to protect. And that's what I would do. I mean, whatever is the best way for you. I mean, some people want to wear holy metal or have saints' pictures or prayers, or other people want to have protection sigils, some grimoires. It's all up to you.
If holy water was tossed at you, would you melt?
No. I'd get wet.
All right, so you wouldn't go, I'm melting, or anything like that.
Oh, my beautiful evilness. I wouldn't.
That's your witch cackle for us, though, isn't
it? Yeah. Well, you got to practice that.
I love it. All right. Harold, I want to thank you. Good luck with this book, Witching
thank
Herbs.
Thank you so much. And I really enjoy being on your show.
You keep in touch with us, okay?
Okay, thank you.
I love talking to witches, actually. He is a nice one. He doesn't sound like he'd do anything evil or hurt anybody or anything like that. He just seems to be a nice witch. His name's Harold Roth, and his book is called The Witching Herbs. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.